Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. You're hearing the post-show noise at the 4th Street Theater, where Go See a Show returns for Honey Fist, the other show running in rep from Flux Theater Ensemble, along with Sans Merci, which I had a podcast on just a few episodes back. Back on the mic are playwright August Schulenberg and director Kelly O'Donnell. You might have heard them back on episode 41, with Kelly as director and Gus as star of Adam Simkowitz's Hearts Like Fists. Lots of fists, as you'll hear Gus point out. Take a listen.
As returning guests, repeat offenders, just in case folks didn't listen to the awesome Hearts Like Fists podcast, can you just say your names on the mic?
Kelly O'Donnell.
Director of the piece, and
Gus Schulenberg, playwright.
This time as playwright, not as brilliant maniacal doctor slash serial killer.
slash misunderstood.
Totally misunderstood. Speaking of misunderstood, the show is Honey Fist. It's running in rep with... I love that both shows that I'm talking to you guys about include the word fist. That was the first thing. Is this a theme? No, it's totally
We're double
not.
Fisting it.
Yeah. Well, you kind of are, because this is running in rep with the other show we've already covered on the podcast. Sans Merci, and very different play, but it makes sense that they run in rep. I don't want to talk about that, though, because I'll just stumble over my words and sound like a moron. So, Gus, can you tell us what the show is about, and then maybe both of you as Flux masterminds can tell us what the connection is and how... Well, let's just make this more of a conversation, which is what I always like to pretend the podcast is.
Yeah, sure. So Honey Fist is about this group of high school friends in Marblehead outside of Austin. And they...
That was beautiful.
Thank you. They they lost one of their best friends in high school under ambiguous, uncertain circumstances that surround his death. And so every year they gather near where he died and throw a big party. They get drunk, they get high, and they remember him. They remember Justin. But this night is different than all the other nights because one of their friends, the only friend who really left, he went out to Hollywood and started making a lot of money off movies that are based on their lives. He comes back for the first time in 10 years, and he's got an offer. He tells the friends, whoever tells me the best story about Justin that I don't know wins this Porsche that he has brought. So they proceed to tell stories about Justin, their friend who had died. And as we hear these stories, we realize just how much he meant to each of them. He was one of those people who just knew how to make other people happy and bring out the best in them. But some of the stories take turns that are unexpected. And it becomes clear about halfway through that the real reason that Hollywood guy is there is to find out the truth about Justin's death. And that's probably all I should say, because now we get into spoiler alert.
I think that's a great place to stop. And it is as intriguing as you make it. And Gus stopped well before any of the even more intriguing things come out. So it's a super interesting, engaging. I felt the need to tweet in the middle at intermission and say, like, I can't wait to see how this ends, because I was stoked. It plays like a mystery in a way, but is riotously funny in ways too. I found myself recognizing, I was just talking to Kelly before we started, that I recognize these people and I recognize a lot of the situations that they're finding themselves in, and that was very meaningful to me as an audience member. But so this play, that all of that is to say, like, this is an awesome show. Come see this. And the play is running in rep with a very different piece, and hopefully, as a loyal listener to Go See a Show, you heard the Sans Merci podcast, and you can probably tell from the description of this and what we said about Sans Merci that they're very different pieces. So what came first in terms of the plays? Did you just find both plays by accident, and then it said, like, hey, whoa, secrets, somebody who's gone, things revealed throughout the play, and, you know, the themes sort of fit. How did it come to be a rep piece, these two plays in rep?
How did it come? It was so long ago.
I was going to give you a chance to
well, there's several reasons. We can talk about both, but one of the reasons was that we... it was our fifth season, so we wanted to kind of do something kind of full circle and make this a season about home. And we thought it would be good to do plays this year of playwrights that whose work we've produced in the past. So Sans Merci is a play that we've been wanting to do for years, since we first read it. So we thought with that, with Hearts Like Fists, with Adam and Gus, you know, these were three playwrights whose work we've produced before. So it was just a perfect opportunity to do that. And then we found that these plays do speak to each other. And through there, we thought, God, we really want to do both. You know, we thought we only had time and resources to do three plays, but we're like, oh, we really want to do...
And that was all true. Four. We only had time and resources to do three. But we did four.
Yeah. So we thought, God, these plays really speak together. We kind of have to do both. Is really, really how it started. And then we just... Then it was full speed ahead, and then we did it. I'm sure there was more to it, right?
Well, you sometimes ideas... You know how it is when you're in a room and there's a lot of people with strong opinions and nothing is quite clicking, nothing is quite landing, and you don't want to settle for anything less of everybody locking into a particular idea. So this was many months we went through trying to decide this season because we had a lot of plays we wanted to do and only limited slots, and then we have a number of artists that are a part of the ensemble that we wanted to make sure had satisfying seasons to look forward to. Mm. And we also wanted to produce really great plays. And we want to produce a season that has a theme, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's all these pressures that factor in. And as soon as the idea of a rep of these two plays was put onto the table, we started to lock in. And it was really just a matter of all of us getting over the inevitable logistical demons that we knew would be present. We had done a rep 5 years earlier, and it really took a lot out of us, but we had forgotten that enough to say, let's do this again.
Is and it a rep when you do three? When you do a trilogy?
Oh,
still
yes.
Called rep?
Yeah. Still rep, yes. Yes, if you're doing as many changeovers as we did, it's a rep. That's how you know. But yeah, I mean, I hope that people that come see both plays get the big ways in which these plays talk to each other, which is, you know, ownership of loss. But there's also a lot of small details that the more you watch the plays, the more you're like, oh, wow, that actually really reminds me of that moment there. So they're very satisfying in that way, even though tonally they're so different.
Yeah.
Very, very different. Very different. Yes. It's a different feel in the audience. And I want to get back to kind of where our conversation was, Kelly, beforehand, about where this play comes from for you, Gus. Is this where you... Is this where you're from? I mean, are you from Boston, outside of Boston? What prompted this story, which is, again, really, really, really cool, interesting, engaging, I see to my pants, like, where is this going sort of story, with very familiar people in it that I was really happy to see on stage. Where did that come from for you?
Well, I'm from Cape Cod, which is not far outside of Boston, and this behavior these are things that I myself did, certainly. It's probably my most autobiographical play, even though there are a lot of differences. It's not an autobiographical play, but it's the most autobiographical play that I've written, if that distinction makes
totally
sense.
If you out there in podcast land hear some weirdness, it's because I'm a moron and left the SD card full and ran out of space. But I think we got most everything up to the question I'm about to ask. So I was saying before we got on the mic with Kelly that I love the characters in this play. I love that they're very recognizable to me as a person who grew up on the border to New England. And I think there's something great about seeing people that you can recognize in situations that you recognize on stage. And so I was asking Gus where that came from for him, and he started this great story about working in a call center. And so I'm hoping you'll repeat that, and it wasn't lost to the wind with my SD card failure.
Yes, so what I had said was that when I was working in a call center, I had a colleague there, and we had this running joke about being from New England and this not allowing anyone to be better than you. And the joke was very simple. Someone would say something innocuous to the other, and the other would answer, "What do you think you're better than me?" as if it had been an insult, which of course it never was. And it got me thinking about a lot of the kids that I grew up with on Cape Cod. and a lot of the kids that I smoke and drank under power lines with, as these characters do in the play. And so I started to write a play that was supposed to be just a straight-up comedy. It was going to be a mystery. It was going to be a bit of a thriller. But as I was writing that play, this other play started to happen, which was I did lose a friend named Justin to somewhat similar circumstances. It wasn't in high school, though I did lose a couple of friends in high school, but they weren't this friend. But Justin, 3 or 4 years after high school, was in a hiking accident where he fell. And there is some speculation amongst some of his friends that that might not have been an accident, but we don't know. And it's unsatisfying not to know how and why a friend of yours died. And just this Justin was not exactly like the Justin in the play, but he was in some respects. He was a lot further ahead of us in some ways. I remember him telling me one night, you know, this is high school, none of this actually matters. And I couldn't imagine a world in which high school didn't matter. But he knew that it didn't. But he was also had a lot of adversity in his life. He did end up going to jail for a period of time and got kicked out of the armed forces. So he was a really enigmatic person of a lot of opposites. He contained a lot of opposites. So what I found was this play ended up being a little bit about him, or at least a little bit about my experience of him. And that was when the play started mattering. So there's still this structure, this mystery structure, this comic mystery structure, but it is holding up this more ambiguous inquiry into how Justin died, how someone like Justin would have died. And I think ultimately the play is trying to find something that I could have said. And I think at the end I did find something that I could have said. So that's it.
That's all you need to say, really. I just wanted to let that land. Thank you.
Yeah.
So now, as a director, with I'm curious to know how much of the story and Gus, your personal experience, went into the creating these characters as a director and pushing that. I don't want to say pushing, but carrying that weight into the play. Did that happen just with the words? Was there personal history involved? How did the actors react to, or did they have this knowledge? I'm just curious to know how all that went down.
Yeah, I think the actors did have the knowledge, because I think we might have talked about it at the first read through. But we went into it fresh, not really thinking about the genesis of the play or any of the, you know, reasons that Gus wrote it. So we kind of just took it as, who were these people in this play at this time? And we didn't quite know who they were, and we just kind of discovered it through the rehearsal process. We did bring in a dialect coach to come in briefly and just listen to everybody. And we listened to different things on YouTube, and we watched The Departed and all these Mystic River. Yeah.
I absolutely love watching The Departed just to hear Marky Mark.
It's great.
Like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's so good until, like, Gus and I were talking about this, until the last 20 minutes. It just gets
gets a little crazy.
Yeah.
When I saw it in the theater, I'm like, what the hell is that? And then I had to think about it later and be like, oh, it must have been a rat. That must be what was. I mean, this is on a huge screen. Like, I could. Yeah.
That's better that way.
It's probably better that way.
But for me, I'm not from anywhere near Boston, but I grew up in Philadelphia. And the characters in this place, one of the reasons why I love this play so much is because the people in this play remind me of a lot of the people I grew up with. You know, completely very similar.
I'm doing a fist pump here. I'm like, yes, it's not like they're Bostonites like Boston. Of course they're from Boston, but they're people.
They're people
we all know.
Yeah, and they're very American too, you know, which is really interesting. And At least the America that I know, that I was born into, Philadelphia, the country of Philadelphia.
I love that line. It's so good.
You know, but like these people who are great people have so much potential, but really just haven't left the neighborhood. You know, they've stuck around and they hang on to high school. They hang on to the past. They tell the same jokes every day. They love each other. They hate each other. They get in fights and then they turn around and help each other. The next beat. So that really appealed to me. And I think it was all just about, you know, finding the humanity, finding the what makes these characters tick, really making sure each person had a clear trajectory and clear intention and path. And we have also just a really, really fun time in the rehearsal room, which I think you can see on stage because they're just having a blast up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that really helped, too.
Who carved the bongs?
I did.
As someone, I say this in all honesty, I've never smoked anything other than a cigar in my life.
Right.
Oh my God, those were hysterical.
Well, that was kind of a last minute do or die thing that I did. We couldn't figure out how to do it, and our props designer had her hands full, and the two of us were just putting our heads together. And I was like, all right, I got an idea. I'm going to run home. I think I missed the first. I think I missed opening of Sans Merci because I ran home and I worked on these bongs all night till like 4 o'clock in the morning. I had to work the next day. It was a mess.
But it's worth it.
I think it was beautiful. Well worth it. So, all right. Well, and just to kind of wrap up what you were saying before I got off on the trajectory of bongs, I think it's a real testament to the beauty of the brilliance of the writing, like really, really great writing that these characters come out without, they're totally in the text, and your actors did a phenomenal job, like, breathing life into those. So, thank you both for a really, really great show.
Oh, thanks for doing this again.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's great.
It's great to be back. All right, so we're, again, as with Sans Merci, we're at the 4th Street Theater, and they both close on the 18th?
Well, Sans Merci closes on the 17th. The last performance is on the 17th. The last performance of Honeyfest is on the 18th. We have two on the 18th, actually.
Great. So Sunday the 18th, right? So there's
Saturday.
Okay, so there's a matinee and an evening performance that day. Great. And it's Flux Theater with an RE.org.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well done. Getting better at that.
Nice. I like your boots.
Oh, thank you very much. That's kind of
fry
you.
Fry boots.
As a man with no sense of style, I really appreciate when somebody notices that I actually try to give a hoot about how I look, so thank you very much. Thanks again, y'all.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly and Gus, for coming back on the podcast. And again, very sorry about the silly technical error. I'm a professional, I swear. Catch Honeyfest before it closes this Saturday, May 18th, 2013. Head over to Flux Theater with an RE.org for tickets and showtimes, along with info on Sans Merci. And if you missed it, check out the Sans Merci episode of the podcast. And thanks to you for listening. If you dig it, please like it on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow @GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate and or comment on the show's iTunes page. As always, send any comments, suggestions, praise, or complaints to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, @GoSeeAShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.
I'm so sorry about the flub. Ah, oh, man. I'm like killing.
That's what makes things real.